beep, 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 beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, it's the Saved by the Bell podcast, where I invite a guest over to watch an episode of the show with me, and then we critically deconstruct it for you guys. And this is actually a really special episode because normally I have like friends over and stuff, and this is a celebrity guest who has lots of fans that emailed me specifically to be like, you got to get Alison Rosen on. You got to get her on.
Well, that is very, very flattering.
I got tons of emails asking me to get, and you were awesome. I just emailed you and was like, hey, the fans have spoken, and you were like, yeah, I'll totally do it.
And here I am.
It's pretty great.
And I was thinking it's pretty brave of you. Well, you were saying it's brave of me to come over to a stranger's apartment.
Right.
I was thinking it's brave of you to have a stranger in your apartment.
Hey, I mean, there's nothing in here of any value that anybody, nobody wants any of my Smith CDs.
I like your Elvis dresser quite a bit.
Oh, well, thank you. I got that at a furniture store in La Brea. It was out, you know that place that's like everything's outside, so it was out on the street so I could see it, and then I totally like immediately turned in and was like, I'm buying that right now.
That's the best way to shop.
Yeah,
every store should just have all their belongings
just
on the
out
street.
Yeah, and then you see them and you're like, yeah, I'm not even going to think about it, I'm just going to get it.
Exactly. Unlike the way the mall is set up in this episode of Saved by the Bell.
Look, you're such a pro. Look at that transition. Well, first of all, let me say the episode that we just watched is called Home for Christmas Part 2. The original air date was December 14th, 1991. I do have to apologize. I go in order and you got stuck with a part two, which is like a weird thing.
And I had not seen the first part, but you caught me up.
I caught you up. Zach caught you up a little bit, and then I filled in the gaps.
Yes.
So as I usually do, I have the guests go ahead and give a synopsis of the entire plot, and then we get into our notes. We get real deep into our notes.
Okay. So, all right. I'll try to synopsize this.
Okay.
What is the verb?
Synopsize.
I'm gonna summarize it. I'm gonna synopsificate it. Okay, so it's Christmas break.
Yes,
the whole gang has jobs at the mall. And well, it's gonna be hard to say what happened. I'll have to give a little bit of what happened in part one.
Yeah, sure.
Presumably,
sure.
The listeners already know.
Yeah,
but a homeless guy that Zach and Slater met or kind of noticed in the bathroom. Later, they found that he had passed out in the food court and they gave him CPR and saved him. And meanwhile, Zach had also taken notice of a hot blonde named Laura who works with Kelly at the men's clothing store.
Right.
And it turns out, and so they go to visit the homeless guy. No, they're at the hospital anyway, and they decide they're going to check on the homeless guy. Mm-hmm. And they see Laura there. And they can't put it together. What is she doing there?
What are you doing here?
What are you doing there by his bedside as if
holding
he's
his
your
hand.
Father?
Yes, exactly.
Turns out he's her father.
Right.
So in this episode, I'm trying to remember how it starts. I cannot remember how it starts exactly, but I know that at one point they're at Zach's parents' house.
Yeah.
And Zach's mom is there. And then what were they trimming the tree that night, or what were they doing there?
Like, basically this episode is just trying to figure out how to help Laura and her dad.
Right. But Zach's mom did turn that, like, did say, okay, well, see you next time.
And then, oh, no, totally. No, we'll totally get into that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then, but in terms of the other broad strokes of what happened, they put on a Christmas play. It was a Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
But they modified it a bit to appeal to Mr. Moody, who's like the Scrooge of the episode, who owns the men's clothing store.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like half Christmas Carol, half free advertising for him.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole thing where Laura has expressed interest in a particular suit jacket for her dad because her dad is unable to get a job because all he has is his one wrinkled suit. And when people find out he's homeless, they will not hire him.
Right.
So she wants to get him the suit jacket, but she can't afford it. And then Kelly puts it aside. And then this one you see coming like pretty far away.
Yeah.
Because Moody finds out that Laura's homeless. And if he knew she were homeless, he would not have hired her. But anyway, then, long story, but wears the suit jacket, and he accuses Laura of stealing it. But then it turned out that really Kelly had just put it aside because she wanted to buy it for Laura. And then by the end, they're all at Zach's parents' house again. Zach's dad is missing.
Yeah. Oh, he's out of town.
He's out of town, yeah.
He's out of town, yeah.
So they're all at the house, and Moody has had a change of heart, and he shows up, and he apologizes, and he gives the jacket to Laura's dad, and then Laura and her dad are going to stay with the Morrises until they get on their feet.
Totally.
Could be a while. They could wear out their welcome, but that's okay because Zach has worn out his welcome, and he's still there.
Wah, wah. Totally. Yeah. No, that was beautifully done. So it's basically... Yeah, wraps up everything. They try to help solve their homelessness. Okay. Well, the episode opens with Zach talking to the camera, which he does a lot, giving us the recap of part one and being like, look, Laura's homeless, this is her dad, whatever, whatever. It also includes a lot of jokes about homelessness. Now, a thing about Saved by the Bell that trips me up a lot is that, yeah, of course they do have episodes that have like, here's the moral or whatever, but they so weirdly pick and choose
which issues to care about
completely and which are frivolous and which aren't. Because there are episodes within the episode where it'll be like, hey, like the overall tone is like, be nice to people that are different than you. But then in it, they'll have a ton of jokes about like a fat girl. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm like, oh, so I'm supposed to be nice except if they're fat people. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah.
So this episode, both of these are kind of like that where they're like, hey, be cool to homeless people, but then it's treated in such a frivolous way that like the people make jokes about being starving and stuff.
Right. Yeah, I actually had to remind myself that for the time, this was a very special episode.
Right, right.
In a way.
Right.
But yeah, it was treated in a very flippant
way. Well, because also the guy, but then having said all that, it opens, like the first scene is like they are having Laura and her dad over for dinner. Zach and his mom, they're like, come over for dinner. And they do make all these jokes about how hungry they are. And he is like, the doctor told me I got to eat more.
Oh, right.
But
yes.
He does not look remotely malnourished or skinny in any way. Like, he just looks like somebody's dad.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. The choice not to hire someone who.
Right.
Not he didn't go Christian Bale for this part. Why not?
That's right. He didn't like go on an extreme. Yeah. They couldn't. Like, the guy isn't even skinny. He's not fat.
But he doesn't look homeless.
No, he doesn't look like he's skipped a meal in the past day.
And she doesn't either.
No.
I mean, she's really skinny, but she doesn't look rumpled at all.
They're just like, you know, I guess, quote unquote, average people. But yeah, so he's like, oh, the doctor says I got to really eat more. I'm like, I'm malnourished. And you're like, what? Okay. And then Laura says something similar. Or says something about her weight, and that's when Zach's like, hey, you look good to me, with their parents right there.
Yes. That was creepy.
Yes.
There was some creepy... The flirtation between the two of them was creepy, especially at the end, since they're going to be living together.
Right.
Very far
right.
As in the
and
attic.
Also, because when you're a teenager, like, the last... everything is embarrassing to you, especially your parents.
Yes.
At any given time. Never more so than when you're trying to like impress a boy or a girl that you're into. So like in front of your mom or dad, like you'd never be like, yeah, girl. Like,
right.
No, you'd be like, oh, mom, shut up. Like, yeah. So the fact that he's doing that in front of his mom is super weird. And then, so they're sitting on the couch, like trying to have small talk, I guess. And that's when Zach's mom goes, she's like, yeah, it's a shame a husband isn't in town. He'd like to hang out with you because we like to meet different kinds of people. And again, this is kind of a callback a little bit in part one. They treat homeless people like they're a different race, like they're a different culture, because they say something weird like that in part one. So she says that. And I tripped on that because like she's an adult with life experience. Like, she knows what homelessness is. She's not a kid. She knows what homelessness is, the circumstances that can lead to it, that you shouldn't treat people like they're an other.
Right.
Like, that is just, like, the weirdest.
Right. And, yeah, and no one looked around uncomfortably on the episode, and there were no air quotes or anything.
Yeah, and he didn't even go, like, even if I were the dude, I'd be like, what do you mean by that? That's a weird thing to say to me.
You're right. But you're right. If, like, 20 years before on television, they would have been black.
Right. Right. Like, I guess to them, like, we've established that the writing staff of the show easily is like 60-year-old white guys. Easily.
Oh, interesting.
So I think in their minds, and there's like crazy racist, sexist, homophobic stuff all throughout the series, looking at it with adult eyes. So I think to them, they were like, hey, you know what's going to be super progressive for us? We're going to make these homeless people white. How magnanimous and progressive are we if we do that? Like, I think they thought they were really blowing minds by doing that.
Really, being revolutionary.
Exactly.
Pushing the envelope.
Totally. So they have that weird conversation, and then, yeah, like you said in the synopsis, they go, I forgot the guy's name. I know it's Laura, but what's her dad's name?
Is it Frank?
I wanted to say Frank, too, but that's like my go-to fake name.
Frank Buttons or something, but it's not. What was it? I wish I'd written it down.
Me too.
I took note of it because it was a very...
I swear to God, I was
going to
say...
name.
Right, because...
I think it was Frank.
Frank's my go-to fake name, like, in real life. Like, I'll just go, hey, there's Frank, but...
So oh, mine's maybe, Fred. How funny.
Yeah. Is it really?
Fred is my go-to, yeah.
But, yeah, so... yeah, let's call him Frank.
Okay.
So Frank and Laura, they're like, hey, thanks for dinner. Like, we're going to go now.
Where, though?
Exactly. And then they let... Zach's mom... Like, they let them go. You know for a fact... They have nowhere to go. You 100% know that.
That's why they're the other kind of people.
Yes!
A different kind of people.
And so, but Zach's mom's like, okay, cool. We'll see ya.
I know.
So you're basically like, have fun on the streets.
And it's clearly a big house.
It's a huge house. Huge house. You were just sitting on the couch that one of them could easily sleep on comfortably.
Right.
Yeah, but they're like, all right, peace out. See you guys later. Have fun on the streets where we know without a doubt that's where you're going.
Because you clearly have no home.
Yes.
Now, if... Zach's dad had been in town, would it have been different, do you think?
See,
maybe she's just like as the woman of the house alone. I mean, I don't think that's the case, but I'm
no,
just
but
saying.
That is a good point. I guess part of it could be like, you're a grown man. I shouldn't have you in my house when my husband isn't here. Maybe there's some kind of weird thing that.
I think we're bringing that to it.
Yes, but that's a good point. Though, because I feel like I'm a single lady, I live here, like, and I'm super, like, help the homeless, give money to everybody.
But you wouldn't invite them to live with
you? Yeah, there's if a homeless lady knocks on my door right now, I was like, can I stay here? I'd go, yeah, you can stay here. A homeless dude knocks on my door, I'd probably be like, no, you can't stay here.
But wait, really, in real life, if a homeless lady knocked on your door and said, can I stay here, you would let her?
I mean, maybe.
That's nice and trusting.
Yeah.
Even though I would want to, I would feel like this can't go, this is not going to end well.
Yeah, see, but and it's a thing that people don't understand when ladies like, okay, this is gonna be weird and gross, like I'm so charitable, but I work for this place called Food on Foot in Los Angeles, which is awesome. It's this place every Sunday that feeds homeless people, and like, but it's this thing that helps them get jobs. The guy who owns it is the most amazing saint like guy who ever lived, and it's this whole program that like he helps people get jobs and then gets them an apartment and then saves their paychecks for like 6 months and then gives them to them so they like have their own nest egg and whatever. So I do that every Sunday, and like homeless dudes hit on me, on any of the ladies, like they hit on you.
Mm-hmm.
That's an extra thing that like people don't understand when you try to do nice things as a lady, is that like
right.
You can't just do a nice thing.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I'm just helping you. I don't want to go on a date with you. And so I could see that being a level. That was a long way to go, and I wasn't just trying to shoehorn in the fact that like I'm a super good person.
No, I get what you're trying to say. You're trying to say the homeless dudes are into you.
Yeah, I'm just trying to say I have a type, and it's homeless dudes. No, but so I get that level of it. I guess I could see like a lady being like, I don't want to be here home alone with this guy. So that could be part of it. So I'll give Miss Morris like that credit.
A pass.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But for the most part, she does have big strapping Zach there to like protect her.
That's
from the
right.
homeless guy.
Yeah, I couldn't tell with her. Because... I haven't seen episodes that she's been in before. I'm not a completist. I have not
right.
seen every Saved by the Bell episode mm-hmm. by any means. So I couldn't tell whether all of a sudden she was going to reveal that she's actually, you know, not like has an issue with homeless people or something. And she didn't, but I felt like it was on the line.
No,
a little
I agree
okay.
with you. Like she's only been in a handful of episodes for like 2 minutes at a time or whatever. But you're right, because the way she does say the different kind of people thing, she's like a little weird about mm-hmm. it. And there is a...
Oh, and later when they're... Sorry, I just cut
no,
you off.
No, of course.
But later when they're Christmas tree shopping and Zach is bummed out because Laura has run off after being accused of stealing, Zach's mom is like, come on, we
she
have to buy
like,
a Christmas tree. Yeah.
Yeah. So I agree with you. They do kind of... It seems like there could have been a scene after they leave that when she shuts the door, she's like, oh, I'm glad they're not in our house
yeah.
anymore. They're weird and gross.
Right.
The
like,
others.
You can date... her, Zach, but don't fall in love with her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't think you're marrying yeah. a homeless lady.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So they totally let them leave to go sleep on the street while they sleep in their comfortable beds in their giant house. So the next scene is they're at the mall, and it's established that it's 7 a.m. because, you know, Zach's like bitching at his mom because he's like, oh, yeah, of course, I really want to be up at 7 a.m. helping you out at the mall. That's kind of weird because, and I have a whole thing with this whole mall play thing. I worked at the mall in high school. That was my high school job. Most malls don't open until like 9 or 10.
Right.
It's weird they're there at 7 a.m. I guess it's like a special thing if they're like, hey, can we load in our play gear? And okay, that's another, that is a whole other thing too that we tried to figure out in the previous episode when they mentioned this play, because who's like the mall committee? Who do you go to in a mall to go, can I put on a play here?
Info, concierge.
That's what I was like.
I don't think there is a, yeah, I these kids run this town.
I mean, they totally do.
They do.
Because if I wanted to, it, like, say I wanted to go to the Beverly Center tomorrow.
To put on.
And just put on a play in the food court.
Yeah.
If I just
went to Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat tomorrow at Westside Pavilion.
Yes. So if I just walked in there and started doing it, security would shut me down.
In 5 minutes.
5 minutes, they'd come over and go, what are you doing? Get out of here. So if I wanted to do it legit, who's even the governing board that I'd go to go, hi, Mr. Mall owner, can I please stage a theatrical production in your mall? I'm going to need a key. I'm going to need to get in at 7 a.m. 2 hours before opening to get my props in.
Right.
Who's going, yes, I'll let you do that.
You're so right. I do wonder how people do that.
Yeah.
And I have no idea.
I told you I get really super nerdy deep
into this. No,
that's
good. It's good.
But the logistics of this drives me crazy. So they're in the mall at 7 a.m. unloading stuff. And then a joke, you know, they got to put in about Screech being a weirdo is that he's eating Chinese food for breakfast. He's like, I love my Chinese food for breakfast with extra garlic, which is another whole, no Chinese food places are open at 7 a.m.
No.
None of them.
No.
Because that's not a thing people do is get Chinese food at 7 in the morning.
Nothing happens that early.
No.
It's my belief.
No, nothing. So, yeah, so they're, you know, doing this. And then Laura comes up like, hey, what are you guys doing here? And, you know, Zach's like, we're getting ready for the play, but I also want to take you out to breakfast. And she goes, well, I can't. I got to be at work in 5 minutes.
Which, now, what time, presumably, is this?
7?
Okay, so so it's still 7, so she works at 7:05.
Yes.
It's when her job starts.
I have to be at my mall job at 7:05 a.m., 2 hours before the mall opens.
In general, on sitcoms, I've noticed a lot of stuff happens before 8 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
Like, completely. Whole entire storylines happen.
Totally.
Yeah.
Storylines, people getting up, doing stuff. Like,
even just sitting down for breakfast.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know that some families do that, but I never did that.
Oh, I never
that.
Did that either.
Yeah.
I mean,
too much time.
No, way too much time. Like, when I got old enough to really, like, I used to get up 5 minutes before I had to go be at the bus stop or whatever for school. Like, I was not at all up, like, let's hang out for an hour before I have to be anywhere. Like,
and I didn't have wacky neighbors coming over and drinking the coffee that was already made or anything.
No, of course not. And that was the kind of thing, like, if somebody knocked on your door at 7 a.m., my parents would be like, who the hell is that? Yeah. Call the cops. Like, yeah, that would not be an average thing. But yeah, so she's, I don't know what kind of prep they got to do to open the menswear store, but she's got to be there 2 hours before the mall opens for some reason. And then I wrote this down because another, when she's having this conversation with Zach, Screech comes over and is like, hey, do you want some of my Chinese food?
Sweet and sour squid.
Sweet and sour squid that he's eating at 7 a.m. And she goes, even I'm not that hungry.
Right.
What?
She has such a sense of humor.
About
herself
starvation.
And her plight.
Yeah. I mean, that's so like, remember guys, I'm literally starving because I don't have a house.
But remember, oh yeah, so she says she only has 5 minutes and then Zach's like, haven't you heard of fast food? But then offers her a donut or something, which is not technically, well, maybe it is fast food, but I get what he's saying. But then he offers, she takes one, he's like, have another. And you get the sense that he wants to give her the whole box.
Right.
Out of charity or taking pity on her or whatever. Yes. But then she's like, please, I only need one.
Right.
Or something. And then, but I was thinking, well, but why not take more of them?
Yeah. Take them home.
For your dad.
Exactly. Exactly. For your dad that fainted yesterday or whatever, because he apparently never has food.
It's like they weren't committing to specifically what's going on with their homelessness.
Right.
Like, is she homeless, but full of homeless pride? Or, because I saw a flicker of that, but
not
a whole storyline. Like, she's no, to make a reference to my own personal Saved by the Bell,
yes,
Joe Polnicek on Facts of Life, never wanted to accept other people's charity.
Right.
Because she was all about not you know, no, she's not going to take Blair Warner's scholarship or
whatever.
Totally.
Like, she had that pride. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought maybe they were doing that with her, but I don't think so. Maybe she just wanted one donut.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, it would wave, because in that case, it seemed like it, but then later, like, or like the dinner part where she's like, I ate 15 potatoes and 9 lamb chops or whatever. Yeah. You're like, oh, okay. Then you don't have that pride. You're just going to eat everything in their house. Yeah. So, yeah, her character was not firmly defined on that. But also, even when he's like, I'll take you out of, like, nothing's open at the mall. Nothing opens for 2 hours.
Right.
Where are you getting donuts? Where are you taking her to breakfast? You're in an empty mall with nothing open. Ah, these kind of things drive me and perhaps only me crazy about this show.
Something that I noticed, her pants were baggy, but they were also, like, up her butt. You notice this? What's going on? And she has camel toe in front, but they're baggy.
Yes. Yes. And she had, because she was wearing this, like, gigantic belt.
Maybe that's really what cinches it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But, that is true. They had, like, humongous legs. Like, the legs of them were huge. But then, yeah, around there, yeah, I don't know. Unless that's supposed to make you think they fit at one point, but, like, she's been homeless and hungry long enough that they now she has to cinch them, like, super tight up top. But she used to fill them out. I don't know. But that is a good point. They're not flattering.
I think those were the pants of the day.
Right, right.
I think that's just that.
Let's be honest. She has the one pair. That's all she has.
Right.
So the next scene is they're at the Mr. Moody's menswear store. And Laura is admiring this sports jacket on a mannequin and is like, hey, I want to buy that for my dad, but I don't have any money. And that's when Kelly's like, why don't you ask our boss to give you an advance? Which is dumb because he's very unreasonable and you should know he's going to say no. She's like, okay, whatever. So she goes to ask Mr. Moody and he's like, of course you can't. I'm a dick. No way. And she's like, fine. And then Kelly goes up right after Laura to be like, hey, Mr. Moody, be cool. And she's trying to help, but then goes, she's homeless, you know, which is a dick move, which I guess a teenager would do. Like, no adult would do that because you'd think, oh, wait a minute. There's going to be repercussions. Like, I shouldn't say that. Plus, that's like weird. But she just immediately blurts out, she's homeless. And then that's when Mr. Moody goes, well, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have hired her in the first place. Those people steal.
Mm.
Now, this is the first of many times that Mr. Moody says something that would easily get him sued in a heartbeat if these teenagers were litigious and knew about like workers' rights and what you can and can't say in the workplace. But yeah, totally would have got him sued in 2 seconds. And you can't say that to other employees. And yeah, it's insane. Like, it's just that whole exchange is so super insane. But then Kelly goes over to, or no, she does that later, I guess. She's just like, oh, she's homeless. Don't be a jerk. And then that's when Zach comes in to get Kelly to rehearse for the play they're putting on. And Zach has been trying to get Laura in the play the whole time. But Mr. Moody, because he's a jerk, like, won't give her the time off. Which, even though the time off, quote unquote, is like a couple of hours, apparently, to just go rehearse.
And the play was definitely shorter than that.
Yeah, I feel like
it was like 3 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So Zach goes, look, Mr. Moody, if you let Laura be in this play, I'm going to make it worth your while. Let me tell you about it.
And he's going to double his business.
I'm going to double your business.
And Moody only cares about money, so he's all ears.
Exactly.
And so then they like retire to the corner of the store and 2 seconds later are shaking hands on it.
Yes.
Which it was an extremely fast deal.
Yes. Also, Zach is a teenager.
Yes.
So the idea of a grown adult businessman being like, let me hear what you got to say, random teenager with zero business skills. And then you're right. Like, hears him out and shakes hands. Like, good deal. Good deal, kid. Literal child. I will do business with you. Yes. So he shakes his hand. And then that's when he takes Laura and he's like, come on, you have 20 minutes to learn your part. And so they're like, okay. So when they run off, then that's when Kelly takes the jacket off of the thing, gives it to the other employee and goes, hey, will you hide this? Because I'm gonna buy it for Laura as a gift.
Marla, is that her name? Merle? Merrill?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that is, the other employee.
Yeah. And I think you even said, you're like, oh, I see where, you can see it a mile away where this is going.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she's like, hide this for me. And so they're like, okay. So then the next scene is the play in the food court.
Now, Zach's mom has said that she's not so sure about the changes to the lines that Zach has made.
Right. Because Zach comes to her and it's like, look, we got to change it up a little bit so that I could get Laura in. Which, was it worth it? Because Laura's part isn't that big.
Mm-mm.
And they
but
had
Zach just wants FaceTime with Laura.
Well, of course. But so yeah, so obviously, you know, all the lines he had to add were like, Mr. Moody's is great, go shop there, to like the end of every scene.
Right. They have sizes from Tiny Tim to Giant George.
Yes.
That was Screech's line.
Yes. And then, although I will say Laura, she apparently was the Ghost of Christmas Present,
mm-hmm.
which is a kind of a big part, though, to have only 20 minutes to learn your lines.
Zach
I'll
had
say
a lot
that.
Of faith in her.
Right?
And she was good.
Yeah.
She
did that
good.
Pretty well.
Yeah.
Everyone else has the most terrible accent work of all time.
But I think that Lisa's was the worst.
Because
as you said, it was Australian.
It was just a straight up Australian accent.
Have you talked about, I don't know how much you go away from the specific episode to just talking about Saved by the Bell in general on this
show.
Go
for it. No, go for it.
And the actors and what they're up to. Have you talked about what's going on with Lark Voorhees?
Just that it's sad.
But what is going on?
I don't know.
Because something that happened on the Adam Carolla show, which is that he was talking about Stacey Dash, and I was like, oh, yeah, I think that she's like kind of crazy. And then I realized, and then I wanted to back out of it for so long. Like, I wanted to just edit everything I said out of the show, which
right.
is not something that ever happens. But I realized I was talking about Lark Voorhees.
Oh,
so then
right.
I spent a lot of time being like, no, that's not what I meant at all. Stacey Dash, she's just Republican. She's not
yeah.
crazy.
Right, right.
And then I felt so awful because the obvious of like, oh,
it's okay. All black people look alike to you. It's totally fine.
I was so afraid that that's what it seemed
like. All black women look alike to you.
Exactly.
I get it.
That is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, no. It was uncomfortable for a number of reasons. But
sure.
Anyway, Lark Voorhees, what is the deal? Does she have schizophrenia?
That maybe. That's the thing is that her, it's not even like, yeah, it's sad. I've only watched a couple of, you know, recent-ish interviews, and they all are sort of just like, she should be medicated. It's not, it's to where she must have she needs handlers, or if she mm-hmm. does and they're not doing anything to help her, it's somebody should be stepping in. Anybody who sees these who's close to her should be like, oh, you need actual medical help. Like, it's not even a goof. Like,
right.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know the exact thing that's going on. Schizophrenia could very well be it. But
I think I read it in People or something, and they were saying that she was saying I think that she hears voices or something
right.
like that, but it's like it was one of those kind of like, but for now it's just the day-by-day struggle kind of thing.
Yeah,
it was sad.
It's very sad, and it's very like, yeah, because in the interviews, like, she'll answer, the person will ask something, and then she'll give a nonsensical, it's like, oh, that's not even what I asked.
Right.
She just like says, it's like word salad, and you're like, oh, okay.
What kind of interview did you see with her?
The most recent one I saw was just like something from like an extra-ish kind of show.
But
or, like,
was the theme of the segment, look what's happened to Lark Voorhees?
No,
or?
I think it was just trying, no, they were trying to be like, hey, what do you, it was trying to be a normal interview mm-hmm. where they're like, what are you doing these days or whatever? And her answers were such that they just were kind of like, I think it might have been even like Michael Yo or something that was interviewing her, and he was like, okay, yeah, like, I mean, not to make fun of it, but just trying to be like, all
trying
right.
to power through, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. It was kind of grim. But
yeah.
And it's the kind of thing where it's like, I'm a total stranger watching this going like, clearly this woman needs help, so I don't understand how anyone close to her isn't like, yeah, can I help you please?
I'm trying to remember if this, it was a long time ago that I read this story, but I think that maybe, I don't know if she was refusing help, but I think that it addressed
right.
that, like what was going on with her and her family, and yeah.
Yeah,
I don't
know. Good.
And the other thing, and I'm sure this has come up on the show before,
mm-hmm.
I watched Good Morning, Miss Bliss.
No, I did too. I just didn't like people ask if I'm going to do that or if I'm going to do the college years.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I just don't like them as much.
Yeah. But it was different. It wasn't all the same kids. It was just some of the same kids.
It was only the Haley same Mills. Ones were Zach, Screech, and Lisa.
Right.
And Mr. Belding.
Yeah.
But those are the only same kids. And to me, Good Morning, Miss Bliss was a little too Disney, a little too like, here's
right.
the moral of the episode. Like, it was really little kids. You know
but
what I mean?
How did it happen that it went from Disney to wherever it ended up airing?
Well, from what I read, is it, yeah, because it's so, it's hilarious to me that they, it's like, oh, the prince, they, because in Miss Bliss, they were in like Iowa, Indiana, I think it was.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, how convenient. Zach, me and my two friends moved here along with our principal. Now we live in California. But I think, from what I've read, it was just like wasn't cool enough or something. Like Good Morning, Miss Bliss was They're like, yeah, we need something cooler that's going to appeal to teenagers more or something like that. Mm-hmm. I could be talking out of my ass, but I'm pretty sure that I read something that it was basically just like, let's retool this so it's like hipper or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, so I'm not going to do those. I did watch it as well. And I did watch the college years, but same kind of thing. Like, I didn't like the dynamic of, like, the girls they got to replace, you know, like Kelly and Jesse on college years were not. I wasn't feeling that at all.
Yeah, I don't think I saw much of the college years.
Yeah, I wasn't that. I watched it out of duty. I was like, it's Zach and Slater and Screech. I got to watch it. I'm obligated.
Right.
And so, well, I did. But
probably that's sort of how I feel about, there was a Facts of Life reunion movie.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like a fan even sent me a DVD of it, which is better than the Facts of Life porn that someone sent me, which I didn't even take home with me. It was one of those, like, definitely not facts. You know, you've seen those. I actually never seen them. I've only heard of them. Like the spoof.
Oh, yeah.
All the, that, there's
Brady
Bunch's,
about, like, spoof porn series, yeah, that I've not seen.
Well, so anyway, the Facts of Life reunion, though, was not, I don't even know. I think I've seen it, but like it couldn't hold my attention.
Right.
And I'll watch anything Facts of Life related. Right.
Did you watch it growing up? Because I mean,
Facts
this
of
was,
Life.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I can't remember. I can't really remember a time.
I can't remember
not,
time I was
not watching it.
Yeah. Well, because that's how
I was,
you
like,
know,
five or six when I started watching it. Probably like I was very young. Is that how you were with this?
Yeah, and well, and also because it was always, this came on four times a day when I was in school, so it's like, I knew, I sat there for 2 hours every single day watching it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just like a part of my schedule. You know what I mean? I'm like,
right.
Yeah, I'm going to come home from school. I'm going to watch 2 hours of Saved by the Bell, four eps in a row. Like, I just knew I was going to do that every day.
And you've seen every episode.
Oh, yeah. Like, multiple times. And, you know, when the DVD, I mean, we're watching this on Netflix now, but like, I bought the DVD box set when it came out and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But Facts of Life, I did watch Facts of Life too. I definitely did. I doubt I have the knowledge that you do, but like, I totally was into it and
few
watched
people
it.
Do.
Yeah. Yeah, I was into it. But was it on, I feel like,
NBC.
But was it on Nick at Night sometimes too?
Yes.
Okay,
and then
yeah.
TV Land also.
Yeah.
Yeah. It had a long syndication career, and I don't think it's playing anywhere, but I mean, it pops up
right. All
the time. So yeah, you could definitely, I don't think it was on for 2 hours every day like Saved by the Bell was, but it was on a lot.
Well, I do say I look forward to being a guest on your Facts of Life podcast.
I need to have Go Eastland.
Yeah.
I know.
Do it.
I need
break
to
it
do
down
that.
Every F.
Oh my God, that'd be so much fun.
You should totally do it. Okay, so they put on the play It's a Christmas Carol. Everybody's accents are terrible. Although weirdly, it's like Lisa's accent's technically terrible because it's supposed to be in England, but her Australian accent's
pretty
on point. Yeah. If it was a place taking place in Australia, she'd be killing it. Okay, so, and then of course they show Mr. Moody in the front row.
Mm-hmm. Like, he'd be very excited when they mention his store.
He's like clapping every time they do that. And then I wrote down, surprisingly, though, Kelly has the strongest, she's the strongest actress in this play.
Right.
She has the best accent work of all of this. And then, yeah, I'm going to trip hard again on the logistics of this, because if there is a mall committee or whatever overseeing the activities that you can do in the food court, which I assume, again, in order to not
be right.
chased off by security, you couldn't give all those shout outs to other stores in the mall would be like, hey,
right.
How come
the athlete's foot would get angry?
Yes. Like, totally. Foot Locker would be like, what's up? How come Moody's Menswear got all this free advertising?
Right. Was he a sponsor?
Yes. What did he? We didn't know you could sponsor. Mm-hmm. Nobody told us that. Maybe we would have done it. Maybe Wetzel's Pretzels would have been like, we get in on that.
Yeah.
They'd be eating pretzels for their Christmas mm-hmm. dinner.
TCBOI would have wanted a piece
right?
of it.
Right. So I feel like various mall businesses would be very angry. There
all
would
the
be
kiosks. They'd be like, what about our curling wands?
Yes. What about this weird bathtub kiosk that's here?
We have a lot of dog collars.
Yes. So I think there would have been a lot of repercussions for them giving Moody all those shout outs. Okay. So the play goes off without a hitch. It's great. So the next scene is Moody walking in, like storming into his menswear store, and Laura is doing nothing but standing on the floor of the store, which is what you do as an employee of a clothing store.
By the mannequin.
Right.
That you once wore the jacket that she wants.
She is standing right next to that mannequin. that now does not have a jacket.
I remember first she asked where his jacket went.
Yeah.
And Meryl, or whatever her name is,
yes, yes,
said it was sold.
Yes.
And she was crestfallen.
She totally was.
Hence, she had to just take a time out by the mannequin.
She was just standing there bummed. Now, Moody storms in and immediately goes, "What are you doing?" Like, yells at her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you are a mall employee, as I was in high school, that's your job. You stand on the floor and go, "Hey, can I help you?"
Right.
Hey,
where whatever. Did you work?
I worked at the Hello Kitty store.
Sanrio? Is
yes.
that what it's called?
Yeah. I worked at the Sanrio store. That was my high school job. It was the best. That's why I have like all this Hello Kitty stuff left over.
Nice.
But that's part of a mall job. Like, he yells at her as if she's doing something wrong. And I'd be like, I'm standing on the floor in case people need help with suits. But...
Well, see, I worked at Sam Goody.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, the cassette store.
I know it well. It was actually, there was one next to the Sanrio store at the mall I worked.
There you go. And there was a manager who would bark at me if I was ever standing still, "Help the customers, help the customers, help the customers." Right. And I wanted to be like, but I've already asked them if they want help. And you're basically asking me to annoy them.
Yes.
And I don't want to.
Yes.
You're actually making shopping here a very unpleasant experience, even though I don't think of myself as an unpleasant person. I'm delightful. But if I were shopping, I would just want, or rather, when I shop, I don't want someone up my butt. I just want them nearby in case I want to ask a question.
Absolutely. And if they ask once, "Can I help you?" And you say, "I'm good."
Yeah.
If they asked again, you'd be like, "What? I just said I'm fine." Yeah, I totally am with you. Yeah, I get that that's like a general attitude of like mall people, but mall, you know, managers. But the way he says
those kind of people,
yeah,
you work at a mall.
Yeah, the other type of people. But the way he says it, he just acts like she's doing something insanely terrible. But then he, after she's like, "I'm just standing here," or whatever, he immediately goes, "Where's that jacket?"
Yeah.
Doesn't wait for her to answer, goes, "You stole it." Yells that in her face again.
Well, wait, no, he is that what happened? Because he said, she said, "We sold it," and then he hustles over to the receipt.
Oh, to the receipt.
And picks up, like, because he hustled over the cash register, and I thought maybe he was going to count the register. I didn't know what he was going to do, but instead, he picks up like the tiniest, world's smallest pile of receipts,
yeah,
and looks through them and says, "We did not steal," or I mean, I forget what he says. Like, "We didn't sell it." Then he accuses her of having stolen it.
He immediately says in her face, "You stole it."
Yeah.
Which, again, is another have fun suing the pants off Mr. Moody. He can't just say that to you. Yells at her, "You stole it."
And then she takes off.
She just runs off. Now, I love so much about this. The first being, like I said, he would totally get... So you can't accuse somebody of stealing with zero evidence. He has not a shred of evidence she stole this at all. So that's weird. His logic apparently is that because she was standing next to the mannequin that no longer is wearing a jacket, who steals something and then remains?
She's homeless because it's just a matter of time because you know those people and how they steal.
That's all they do is steal.
Right.
But I just love the idea of
it's like having Portuguese women working in your home from Mystic Pizza.
Right. Totally. It's just like, you know what you're in for. But I just love the idea that like, anyone who would steal something would steal it, but then just stand
right by it.
Right at the scene of the crime and hang out right next to the thing they stole and just be like, "Yeah, I stole it." Yeah, so that's what he thinks that happened, is that that's why she's standing next to it, because she just stole it. So yeah, so he yells in her face, "You stole it." She runs off. And then that's when Zach and Kelly show up. Kelly says... And he says to them, too. He's like, "Well, she ran off
because
she stole
this." Zach wants to
know
where she is because he has a rose for her.
Of course.
So
he weirdly tells her that. Tells Mr. Moody, like, "I bought her a rose." Like, he gives a shit. "Oh, you did? Cool. Like, what? Okay."
It definitely let me know how that's going.
Yeah. So, they go, "Where's Laura?" And he goes, "Well, she stole that jacket, so she ran off."
Mm-hmm.
Again, I want to be in court as a witness for them against Mr. Moody, because you can't just say that kind of stuff. This weirdly makes me sound litigious. I'm just saying, in like a real world situation, like, you can't just tell your employees they're thieves.
You're just bringing your 2014 knowledge
exactly.
to 1991.
Exactly. I don't support frivolous lawsuits. I'm just saying they're a thing that people do and could do in this situation. And then that's when Kelly's like, "Well, no, she didn't. I was gonna buy it. I had Meryl,"
which is probably not her name.
I had her hide it so I could buy it for her.
And she, I thought, not going to say she held her own with Mr. Moody, but she did express her dissatisfaction with him because she was like, Mr. Moody,
yeah,
I had to put aside. I was going to buy it for her with my own money.
Yeah. Which is good. I mean, she should have. That is good because at least somebody did. But it's like she should have said a lot more.
Yeah.
Like, again, I would have been like, I'll see you in court. It's like you just accused her. You have no evidence. That is, what is that, slander or libel? Slander spoken. That's slander. But yeah, but she kind of gives him attitude, like, finally somebody does. And then you actually see on Mr. Moody's face for a second him being like, oh, I'm a dick, like, for 1 second mm-hmm. in the whole episode. So then they turn and run to go. They're like, oh, my God, we got to go find her. And then they're in, like, the hallway of the mall, and they've gathered, like, the whole crew. Like, Jesse's there. Lisa's there with the most questionable sweater of her fashion career. It is, like, this it's got
oversized, structured cardigan,
yes,
jackety thing,
yes,
with big steaming cups of coffee on
it.
Mugs, just two, actually, only two cups of
coffee, and they're like knitted. It's a sweater that my mother would be like, are you kidding me? Yeah. I'm not even wearing
it. It's like what Linda Richman from Coffee Talk would have worn.
100%.
Or possibly did wear.
Yes, that is totally what I was thinking too. And that's what trips me up about Lisa too, is that, like, her character's supposed to be fashionable and, like, on the cutting edge. And so sometimes she does wear weird stuff, but I think, okay, that's because she's supposed to be, like, a little out there. But
right, like Sarah Jessica Parker, Sex and the City, unattractive but fashionable, I suppose.
No,
things.
Totally, where it's like, I don't get, I'll go, that's weird, but I go, it's a fashion thing.
Couture.
Right. But this is a sweater where it's like mothers across the nation
Wouldn't
would be
even.
Like, no, thank you. She just looks like a mom.
Yes, a lot of this, I was wondering, how much is it just that this was in fashion in 1991 and I just can't remember it?
See, and that, I mean, I think that for a lot of the things, but this in particular, it would just, it looked like a mom in 1991. Like, a teenage girl still wouldn't wear that. Like, a mom would.
Right.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was insane. So they're all, but they're all like, oh my God, we got to go find them. Let's split up.
And then Slater says, is that, he was referred to as Slater, right? Not AC Slater.
Yeah.
He saw someone who saw her. So he saw a woman who saw her and she was going this way or something. And I was thinking, how did that exchange happen?
Yeah, exactly. In the parking lot.
Have you seen a homeless girl who only took one donut earlier?
Yeah.
She doesn't look homeless, but if you see, she's wearing pants that are large at the bottom and tight in her butt.
She's wearing very unflattering jeans. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yo, that's true. And also, because they're later found together, it's weird in the way that she runs off. She's like running like the wind, apparently, because she outran everyone, including Slater. But then she's with her dad, who's like malnourished.
Right.
He can't
move
that fast.
Where was he for this time?
I don't know. So maybe he was just in the car the whole time, and she ran and got in the car like, Dad, step on it. I think I'm a thief. We got to get out of town.
Yeah, let's go to the Christmas tree farm.
Okay, that's perfect. That perfectly leads us to the next scene, because that's where Zach and his mom are.
And he's bummed.
Yes.
He doesn't want to be Christmas tree shopping, but she does.
Right.
So they have to find their tree.
Right. And like you said earlier, this is when his mom's finally like, Zach, get over it. We're not going to find them. Deal with it. Like, she's done looking.
Yeah.
I don't care. Your dad gets home in a few hours. We're a family now. Let's get this tree.
Find a girl who has a home.
Yes. Like, she's over it. And Zach's still like, no, we got to find them. And then cut to a guy, like one of the workers at the Christmas tree farm, coming over to this car and being like, sir, you got to move your car. Guess who it is? It's Frank and his daughter, Laura.
Now, I knew right away it was going to be them, not just because it has to be plot-wise.
Right.
But there was something about the car that telegraphed, oh, homeless people live in this car.
Oh, completely.
And I think it was just that there was like a sweatshirt in the back window something.
Totally. And it's like a Pinto or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's clearly like an old bucket of a car. Now
they call it their mobile home.
Oh, and exactly. They make a joke about their mobile home, again, making homelessness lighthearted. But I also love unpacking the logic and the decision process of this, because, look, if you have to live in your car, if I'm living in my car, I'm going to go to the most remote,
right,
not at all frequented parking lot ever because I don't want anybody to bother me. I don't want to be asked to move. Like, they're like, you know what? Let's go straight for a Christmas tree farm where everyone is right now.
Yeah.
Where we will be so visible and many people will be walking around us.
And maybe we'll see the people we were just hanging out with. Yes! That we're trying to get away from.
Yes. So, yeah, that's what they do. They drive straight to the Christmas tree farm to park. And then, yeah, so when their car won't start and Frank has to get out to, like, fix the car, that's when Zach and his mom see them. They're like, oh, my God, you guys.
And then she's like, you don't understand. I'm not a thief. Yeah. And then Zach's mom says, we know.
Yes, we know. Kelly told us she's going to buy that for you. We get it. Come over to our house. It's Christmas Eve, right? So the next scene is everybody gathered around Christmas Eve at Zach's house. And my question about this is, the whole gang is there.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kelly, Slater, Lisa. None of their parents want to hang out with them on Christmas Eve, apparently.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, they're all teenagers still.
But yeah.
Yeah, so they're all teenagers and they were all like, later, family, I'm going to go hang out at Zach's. That's weird. My mom would be like, well, you can't. It's Christmas Eve. Yeah. Like, I'm your mom. You have to hang out with me.
Right.
Like, yeah. So none of their parents care about seeing them on Christmas at all. So they're all at Zach's. And then Kelly's late, though, because she's like, yeah, Mr. Moody made me work late even on Christmas. And he's actually, he wouldn't let me buy the jacket. And I actually fell for that. I was like, what a dick. And then she's like, because he wanted to give it to you himself. And then that's when he walks in with the jacket wrapped. And you said the best thing. You were like, is TV show wrapped?
Yes, because presents on TV shows are always wrapped in a way where they're wrapped, but you can lift up the top of the box
right.
and it'll still be wrapped. And you said, yes, no one ever wraps like that, which is true. However, my friend Jody, who lived up the street, they wrapped their gifts that way. Isn't that so weird? And then that made me wonder, to make another reference to porn.
No, of course.
Sort of
please
like
do.
How I feel like people all began trimming their, you know,
oh, like
genital hair.
It. Yeah, of
genital
course.
Hair. No one calls it that. I
genitals.
Can't believe I just said that. Like
their hair on their privates.
Sorry, I don't know why I'm going here today, but I am. I remember the first okay, so when I was in school.
Yeah.
When I was in grade school, the first time I ever saw porn, it was like the quote unquote hedge porn, except it was in a gazebo. Mm-hmm. There were a bunch of images.
Wait, what do you mean by hedge porn?
Hedge porn, my understanding of hedge porn is that it's like guys will share porn by just sticking it in a hedge and then someone else finds
oh,
it.
That's my I didn't know it was called that, but that's my favorite thing about like my dude friends like growing up stories,
because yes.
they're like, I just found a Playboy in the woods, and I'm
right.
like, what's this porn fairy that just dropped porn right. in the woods for all you guys?
Hedge porn, apparently.
Okay. No, it makes perfect sense.
So anyway, at my school there was a gazebo, and there were, I don't know if it was pages pulled from a magazine or I don't know what it was, but it was the first time I ever saw anything like that.
Right.
And it was kind of it was pretty hardcore and like
isn't it funny
disturbing.
How it's so different for girls, because for you know, a dude finds
yeah.
it, they're like yeah, and it's like horrifying for us.
Yes,
because I'm with you, the first time I saw it I was like way too young. I had this girl in my neighborhood named Tamara whose parents were like swingers and had crazy shit in their house, and so when I was like, I'm sorry, I just hijacked
oh, no, that's
your
okay.
story, but it's just in the way that I remember being horrified.
Yeah, it's too much.
It's way too much.
Yeah,
I was like 12 and she was like, hey, you want to see something? And I was like, I guess. And she found her mom's stack of Playgirls.
Oh wow.
Which is corny anyway.
Yeah,
but so it was all these like giant boners, like giant dicks, and at 12 I'm like, I'm supposed to touch those at some point? Like, it was not
yeah,
I was like, yeah
right,
I was
it's
like,
kind of scary.
That's scary. Yeah,
yeah,
totally.
Well, so anyway, my reaction was, where's all the hair?
Right, right.
And I thought that just existed in porn, but in real life, everyone looks different.
Right.
Such a long roundabout way of saying
that maybe they...
However, now it's like, oh, no, real life has turned into that in a way. Maybe
yeah.
that's what's happening with the rapping.
Yeah, like...
that's
like,
where I was going with that.
Your friend's family saw that.
They're like,
and
that's,
they're like,
how,
oh,
you
that's
rap.
How people yeah. wrap gifts. But I find that interesting because what? I think that's the mailman. Hold on.
Or a homeless lady.
What if it is? And I'm like, you can stay here. Yeah. Oh, thank you. It was the mailman. That would be, how great would that be?
If it was a homeless person who wanted to stay here?
I am tested on my
I know.
Convictions. Like, immediately, it's just a homeless lady. Can I stay here or not? And you're here, so I have to go, yeah, you can. I just said I'd let you, so I have to. But no, wrapping the presents that way, it seems super difficult.
Yes.
Wrapping the lid of the box separately.
Right. I guess you could use it and reuse it.
And then making it
so that the prop present.
The ribbon lines up on both.
Yeah, you're right.
Things?
That just seems because, you know, accidentally you're going to like turn the top.
Right.
And then, yeah.
Wow, man. Your friend's family put a lot of effort into it.
I know.
I couldn't do it. So he brings it. It's TV wrapped. So they just cleanly lift the lid off. And it's like, hey, here's your sports coat.
And he's really apologetic.
Yeah, he's super apologetic. But also, look, I'm not trying to be a cynic, but I think he's like, I don't want to get sued. All this shit I've said, I'm going to make up for
right,
it right
he's
now.
He's covering his ass.
Yeah. And can we be real about this jacket? It ain't that great.
No. There needs to be a whole suit to go with
it. Yeah, it's not that great.
I feel like that's not going to get him the job he needs.
No.
But maybe it will.
It's a very bland, gray, ill-fitting sports jacket.
I mean, I would like to see the other suit he apparently has, because he said he has a suit.
He said he has a suit.
Yeah.
It might even be better than this new thing he just got. Yeah, so it's not that great. And then Zach's mom goes, hey, I already talked to my husband. You guys can totally stay here until you get a job. Now, this is getting deep for me, the nerd of the show, because Zach's dad is named Derek Morris, and it is established in earlier episodes that he sells computers. Quote unquote, I sell computers.
Mm-hmm.
And then Frank earlier
had a job. Was he selling computers or
said,
working with
all
computers?
All he said was my computer job. He was like, I got laid off from my computer job. So instead of going, Derek Morris can just give you a job.
That's what I thought was going to happen
once
he had the jacket.
But no, they just go, you can stay here until you get a job.
I feel like they're very passive aggressive and withholding when you think about it.
Completely. I completely agree with you, because Zach's clearly rich. So whatever Derek is doing, he's good at and probably is kind of high up
in the computer store.
Yes. So like, I feel like he could just hire this dude.
Maybe they were setting it up for that to happen later. Did we ever?
Oh, no. You never see these people again.
Really?
Never see him again.
Even though Zach has a budding romance with Laura?
Never see him again.
Really?
Even though they apparently live there now?
Yeah.
And then what you just said brings up the extra weirdness of, like, they live there now, and Zach's trying to date her.
And in front of his mom.
Yes.
She's like, oh, how can I ever repay you? And he's like, well, you could give me a kiss. And so she kisses him on the cheek, and then everyone goes, woo! But it's right in front of all the parents.
Yes.
I was uncomfortable and offended.
No, me too, totally. And then that's also telling your mom. Your mom's seeing that going, oh, you guys are like one room apart. Clearly shenanigans are going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not a good idea. It's not a good idea at all. When all his dad has to do is just give him a job. Give him a job. And then, but that way it'll be quicker. They won't live there that long. The kids won't be like literally fucking under your roof, as we know they're going to do.
Right.
It's weird.
But really, what do you surmise really happened? Because someone in the writer's room had to have pointed out that we have established that he works in computers and he had a computer job. Should we do something with this?
You're very, very generous to the writers.
I guess, yeah.
And even assuming that they care at all about any continuity, that's very there's things within episodes that like don't. I mean, a hypothesis in many episodes is just like, this is a writing staff of like 60-year-old white guys. They don't give a shit. They're like, write this all down as quickly as possible so we can go drink scotch and like smoke cigars at the smokehouse. Like, yeah, they don't care at all. They're just like, whatever. Yeah, it sounds good.
The kids will eat it up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They're like, yeah, these dumb kids. They don't care. So they're going to live there. And then so after all of that, they go, Laura goes, I wish we had something to give you. And the dad goes, I know.
Oh, right. Yes.
And then that's when he goes and sits down behind the piano and starts singing, I guess, Silent Night. He starts singing a Christmas song, which I guess is all Christmas songs are public domain at this point. They must be, because they sing the whole song.
And I said, is this supposed to sound good?
You told me, like, this isn't that great of a gift. This guy's not like a virtuoso.
Well, I felt like her, because she was singing, they were both singing.
Yeah.
His voice was pretty good, but I felt like
they
were not
decent.
Harmonizing well together. And I couldn't tell if that was just my ears or if you were hearing the
no,
same thing.
No, it wasn't
I was
that
hearing,
great. It wasn't that great, and especially wasn't good enough for something to be framed as a gift they're giving.
Right.
I'm giving you the gift of my voice.
Yeah.
And that's like,
it's not
great.
Someone follow up with the gift of silence.
Yeah. Seriously. How about the gift of making sure your daughter doesn't bone my son under our roof right before our very eyes? How about that, Frank? But yeah, that's how it ends. It just ends with everybody, you know, gathered around the piano, all the other kids just going, screw you, my parents, I'm going over to Zach's. and they all have their Christmas Eve together. Now, I feel like, again, I should apologize that you weirdly got stuck with a part two of an episode.
It's okay. It was enjoyable.
But it was super fun to have you.
Thank you. I enjoyed being on the show.
And
hey, this worked out.
You're welcome to come back again if you'd like to have
I would like to have my own episode.
Okay. You're totally more than welcome. And I feel like, yeah, if you want to, you're a huge star. So
Feel
like I don't even need to plug your stuff, but your Twitter is?
It's at Alison Rosen, AlisonRosen.
Yes. And your podcast is Alison Rosen is Your New Best Friend.
That's right. Alison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. We have episodes that come out Monday and Thursday, and you can get those on iTunes, or you can go to AlisonRosen.com.
And you have many delightful fans who have emailed me, and I'm so psyched that you did this.
Well, I'm so glad. Yeah, I'm so glad that this worked out.
I'm glad
they emailed you, and I'm glad that we found a time where you and I usually are both working in the day,
yeah,
but we happen not to be today.
Had this
awesome
week off. This is my vacation, and yeah, it's cool because again, I got so many emails that I was like, okay, I'll try. And then
I feel like you
happened,
have to be exaggerating.
I
how
swear,
many emails
I
you
promise,
got.
I promise, I'm not exaggerating.
Your
fan favorite.
Oh,
embrace
gosh
it.
Well, thanks, guys.
All right, so yeah, this was another episode of Go Bayside. Look forward to a Facts of Life breakdown podcast coming in the future.
Go Eastland, is what it would have to be called.
I want to be on one of the episodes where Clooney is involved.
George Burnett, the handyman next door who
definitely
came back from Kuwait.
With his beautiful mullet.
Yes.
Beautiful flowing mullet.
Yes.
Yeah,
we should do that.
Without question, I will be on that one. So this has been another episode of Go Bayside. According to the order that I am using now, the next episode I will be covering will be Mystery Weekend. So those of you watching along, it's going to be Mystery Weekend. As usual, I appreciate your emails. Because, I get stuff. Your emails get shit done. They get guests on
happen
the show. So continue to email me. And also leaving iTunes comments is awesome. And high ratings and all that kind of stuff. I really appreciate it. And the Tumblr, as usual, is gobayside.tumblr.com, where it has pictures of guests, et cetera, et cetera. And I will see you guys next time. Thanks.
Beep, 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 go Bayside!